are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word. Now speak again, as only you can, through your Spirit to your people. Meet us in the text and tell her the truth we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might understand and then practice principles revealed. And God would be ever so careful, as we have profited from them, to give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I am led afresh to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Because one of the things that I think is so important for the believer is to have an experiential understanding and enlightenment of who Jesus really is. And so Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. It goes on in verse 10 to say, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. But the first four words says, but we see Jesus. This morning I was talking from John 12 and 21, where some Gentiles went to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. And they are still seeking Jesus today, the Gentiles, the unsaved, those who are not in relationship with God, because it is so necessary for the salvation of the sinner to know Jesus in a personal way. Now, one of the things that you recognize and you discover from Scripture is that there is a responsibility on behalf of the person seeking Jesus, that there are things that they must do in order to find Jesus. And then after you have found Jesus, there are some things that you must say to Jesus. And then after you say those things and you begin your relationship with Jesus and you develop a fellowship with Jesus, there is a maturing factor that must be factored into the relationship and the fellowship. In other words, as you spend time with him, as you grow and mature in him, there are more things he will reveal to you. Now, just because you know somebody, know of somebody, have been introduced with somebody, maybe even in church, you have for years sat next to somebody, seen them in the worship service, just because time after time you know their name, you've witnessed that person, but yet you have not spent any quality or intimate time, does not make you does not give you the ability to know them any better now than you did when you first met them. At best, all you can say is we've been church members for a long time. But you don't know any more about that person than you did pretty much when you first met them, other than what can be observed and what can be viewed in the natural from a certain vantage point. But notice here, because the writer of the Hebrews says, but we see Jesus. I want to stop there, because my question to you is, do you see him? See, it's a personal experience that you must be a witness to. And I want to walk through some scriptures. I won't have time to go through them all, but I want to list them there, and then we'll come back and show you some vantage points from scripture. So I need you to write these down, because when the word says we see Jesus, we're going to see how Jesus is seen. Okay? Because truth be spoken, there ain't one of us in here who's physically, naturally seen Jesus. I'm going to be real, man. If you say you've seen him, it's in a vision, it's in a dream, it's in his workings, etc. But it isn't natural, because he's not here in the natural. So you've not seen him in the natural. So what does the word mean when it says, but we see Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here is the answer. First of all, the Bible says we see him as God's equal. You can look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at what it says. Who being, in Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We see him as God's equal through scripture. Also, John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, again, that everything that was made because of him. And so again, we see him being equal with God. This is what the scripture reveals, how we ought to see Jesus. Now, keep in mind, as we walk through these scriptures, if you don't see him like this, the way the scripture portrays him and presents him, you won't really ever see him. Now, this is important. This is important. Let's look again at how we see him. We see him, according to the word, number two, in great poverty. Great poverty. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 will reveal the great poverty that we see Jesus in. If you were to turn there and look at this word, there are some things that you will discover about Jesus' great poverty. Why was someone so rich? Listen to what the word says. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, what? Rich. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his, what? Poverty might be, what? See, listen, he gave you the opportunity, who was or who were or who still may be poverty stricken, to know what it is, to know what it is to be truly rich. He gave up the riches and glories of heaven to come down here to give you an opportunity to stand in his place, to experience his richness, to have the opportunity to know what spiritual richness is all about. If you have spiritual richness, I promise you, you'll have everything else you need in this earth realm. So he who was rich took on all of the poverty that each one of us would ever experience in this earth realm and substituted it with his richness. Well, look at some of the riches of the Lord. He had the ability to say a thing and whatever he said came to pass. He had the relationship with the Father and his richness to call on his Father, and his Father always heard him. If his Father always heard him, he always answered him. He had the richness to command a thing just as he desired, walking in authority, and every time the enemy came against him, he had the victory every time. When you look at his richness, I'm trying to help you see, richness is more than money. Because if you got the richness of his power and his authority, and you have it in his word, then money is an added benefit. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after will be yours. Because listen, if God gives you a vision, and God gives you a business, and God gives you an opportunity, and God gives you a dream, and if you do what it is God's given you, don't you think money's going to come? You bless the Lord, operate in his kingdom principles, and when you do that, God is under warrant to bless your life with the riches, not only that follow the spiritual realm, that also follow the natural realm. Now, some folk won't believe that true teaching, but you got to know God is a God who wants us to be blessed holistically. We're not made of just spirit. We're made of dust. We're made of dust and spirit. So if we're made of dust and spirit, then that means that God wants to take care of both of those arenas. We're made of dust in the flesh, spirit underneath the skin, the divinity part of God in us, and God wants the whole man to be blessed. Don't you ever believe he just wants to bless one part of you. Because you sow in man's falsehood, you sow into ignorance that does not line up with the word of God. When you get it right with God, there is no good thing he'll withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. It's his good pleasure to bless you with the kingdom's best. And see, until we observe that and operate in that, start doing the things that God calls us and tells us to do. Start learning that it's his will, not our will. Start learning it's his way, not our way. Start learning that we need to put the things in order that he has given us according to his word to place in order, and the things will start happening. How many of you can stand to be blessed a little better than you are? Well, he gave up all of his richness and assumed your poverty so you could assume his richness. Look again, I want you to see scripture. Third thing, we see him in deep sorrow. But what do you mean he's in deep sorrow? Well, you got to realize Jesus Christ also was man just as much as he was God. And Isaiah reveals that. Turn to Isaiah 53 right quick. And again, we want to see the word. Verse 1 of Isaiah 53 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows." Now listen to this. Whose sorrows do you think he had? Our sorrows. It's plural. Every sorrow that you have, Jesus has already borne it for you. He's already tasted of it. He's already experienced it. So therefore, he's already identified with it. That's why as a believer, when you go into prayer and you call on God in Jesus' name, Jesus will lean over to the Father and say, "I've already experienced that, Father. Do what he says. Do what she says." They have called in that name of authority. In other words, they presented the check that Jesus already signed to be cashed at heaven's bank. And when he looks and says, "Is this your signature, Jesus?" Yes, "That's mine. Cash it, Holy Ghost." See, y'all don't know how to have church and understand your privileges. You walk around here with a pre-signed check and don't know how to get it cashed. A check that's got your healing on it. A check that's got your deliverance on it. A check that's got your breakthrough on it. A check that's got all of the blessings and the promises of God on it, signed by Jesus. All the promises in Jesus Christ are yea and amen. And some of us sit in church Sunday after Sunday and don't know how to access heaven and get out. That's why I promised the Lord a long time ago I'd stop all that hollering and screaming and shouting with folk who don't even know what I'm shouting about, and teach them to observe all things. See, I ain't got to teach you how to shout. You know how to do that. But what I got to teach you is what to shout about. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know what to shout about? Because see, right there, you should have been shouting. And then you see God elevating people all around you that were there after you got where you are. You don't understand. Those people are operating by principles of the kingdom. God is no respecter of person. Just because you've been in church 50 years don't mean he can't bless a person who's been in there 50 days more than you. If they're following kingdom principles. So you need to recognize again, we see him in deep sorrow. And if you keep on in Isaiah, you'll recognize that he says again, surely, verse 4, he has borne our griefs. Now, if he's borne them, why are you bearing them? Cast your cares upon him. Why? Anybody know the scripture? For he careth for you. He's born, past tense, our griefs. Listen. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now look at all that he's been through for you. Now do you know you insult him? Listen at me well. You insult him when you do what you do in trying to carry your grief, your sorrow, your afflictions, when he has already done it for. What you're really telling him is, thank you, but no thank you. He paid a price you couldn't pay for yourself. He's got the receipt, giving it to you, and you're still around here bearing your sorrows, bearing your griefs, bearing your afflictions when he's already done it and taken them away. So what does that mean? You had to go and get them. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Carried. Well, if he carried them, that means we had to literally get them from him. Not recognizing that he had already taken care of them. Look at what verse 5 says. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Wait a minute, does your Bible say, and with his stripes we are? Are is what tense? Past, present, or future tense? Are, what tense? Well now, this ain't biblical, this is grammatical. Mary had a little lamb. I think we need to go back to the beginning of school now. Listen, it's a right now reality that Isaiah sees. Listen at this. Listen at this. Before Jesus gets on the scene, he's speaking by faith. He's speaking prophetically. But he's brought the reality in the present tense. Peter picks it up after Jesus did it, looks back to the cross that Isaiah was looking before in the cross. And he says, by his stripes ye were. That's past tense. So here is the point. You need to realize that if you are still dealing with sickness, that Jesus has already dealt with it. If he's already dealt with it, what you need to do is give it to him because it's already been dealt with. And it means you don't have to keep dealing with it because it's already done. Come on, give him some praise if you understand what I'm trying to tell you here. Listen, that we see Jesus, fourth point. We ought to see him in self-sacrificing love. Look at Matthew chapter 20. And verse 28. Now we're going back again through the scriptures to understand how the scripture sees him. Because if we see him the way scripture sees him, then we have the benefit of the scriptures materializing in our lives. Listen again. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Self-sacrificing love. Jesus didn't come down here for you to serve him, for him to be the served as having and calling you down here just so that he'll have more servants. But rather, in his role to us, his self-sacrificing role, he came down to serve us for the glory of his Father and for our good. He left us an example of true sacrifice. And I got to say to the believers, if you really love the Lord, you're going to learn how to serve the Lord. Because it's in your serving others that you truly serve him. It's in the service that you render to others that you honor him. It's in the service that you're willing to sacrifice and give that makes you worthy to be called his servant. And see, when you come to church, you're not coming here to serve. You're coming to worship, to praise, to give glory and honor. And some of us come to serve the Lord. The only service we give God is saying, "Now, Lord, I done got up out of my bed, put on my clothes, came to church, sat down for 2 hours and listened to the choir sing, preacher preach, deacon pray, and all the rest of that stuff. Go, I've served you today for the week." That's it. That's my service. That ain't service. You need to know it's a privilege to come to the house of the Lord. When David got messed up with all of his mess and his wrong decisions and his flesh, and he was exercised out of the church, he was kicked out from the church, David began to realize what a great privilege, even as a king, it was to worship in the house of the Lord. But after praying to God and confessing his sins and getting it right, the church leaders were told by the Lord to go and tell David it's all right to return. And David, when he got the news, said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Because my brothers and sisters, you don't know what a privilege it is until it's been taken from you. And sometimes sickness takes it from you. Sometimes being paralyzed takes it from you. Sometimes being in a situation where jobs or situations or circumstances or money or whatever takes the privilege from you. And it's not until you can't go and you want to go that you realize what a privilege it is to be in his house. So you've got to learn to be self-sacrificing. Five, I need you to see him in his unfailing obedience. Go back to John, if you will, chapter 6. Unfailing obedience. You need to see him. Because if he was obedient, should there be a problem for us being obedient? We ought to see Jesus as obedient. Look at what he says, John chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now, my brothers and sisters, when you see Jesus and you see that Jesus said it himself, I didn't come to do my own thing. I didn't come to fulfill my own agenda. I didn't come down here so that folk will see and know this is what Jesus wants to do. But rather, he makes clear that he came down for a purpose. And the purpose for which he came, he practiced. And because he practiced, he profited from it. And so that's the reason why Jesus gives us this example. If he follows God's will, if he follows what God has given him as a task and assignment, what about you and me? Listen again, I want you to see this. The sixth thing I want you to see is we see him in his mighty power. Let's look a few verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. I want you to see. It says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." He has mighty power. God the Father elevated him and gave him the power that he functions in as a risen Savior and as our present Lord. I need you to know anything and everything that as it relates to this word of God concerning your need and even your desires, as those desires line up with the word of will and the way of God, Jesus Christ has the mighty power to see those things through. That's why you ain't got to beg and whine and cry. You just need to operate in the word of God. With the fullness of understanding and with the power of the Holy Ghost, those things become real in your life. And so that's one of the reasons why when we see him the way we ought to see him, and I hope you're writing these down so you can go back and see him the way Scripture views him, portrays him, presents him, so that you too can see him that way. Because I promise you, if you see him the way the Scripture sees him, every time you're challenged by the enemy, you won't see him through fear-filled eyes. You'll see him through faith-filled eyes. And you will see him according to the word of God, which does not change or cannot be altered. So the way he is seen biblically, if you can get a glimpse of that, then you can operate on that level and begin to matriculate the benefits and the blessings of the word of God in your life through seeing Jesus the way he desires to be seen. When you're taking a picture, everybody got one side they think is better than the other side. And you know it, whatever the little deficiency may be on the other side, you take it, take this side. Catch me, you want your best profile seen. Because you know there is a preference in your own life. Well, listen, Jesus wants his best profile seen, and the best profile is from the word of God. See, your feelings may not come to that point. Your experiences may not rise to that point, but the word shows him as he truly is. He wants you to see him from his best side, and that's the word. See, once you see him from his best side, I want you to know the rest of his side is a blessing for you. He's going to do it and do it experientially. There are some things that you will copy from this word that you will mirror in your life and understand how the outcome is going to be because you've seen Jesus operating from his best side. Listen at this. I want you to see this again. I want you to write this down. He again in verse 7. The seventh view of him. See him in his infinite compassion. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Infinite compassion. Now, when you see him in this light and in this context, my brothers and sisters, what is interesting about this is he has more compassion for you than you have for yourself. Listen at this. Hebrews 4 and 15. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Not we were, but we are, present tense. So here again, you need to see him, because what you are going through, he's been through. Listen at this. Yet without sin. Now, here's a good way to picture this. Whatever you're being tempted, or this word literally includes trials and tribulations as well, because God cannot be tempted with evil. So don't think that this has to do strictly with your lust and or your flesh, but it encompasses your trials and your tribulations as well. Everything that you go through, you know what you ought to have? A light bulb go off in your head and say, Jesus went through the same thing. Listen now, listen. Everything you're dealing with right now, you don't think Jesus had some money issues? Because some of you, your biggest issue right now is money. Right now. Right now, y'all sitting there looking holier than thou. If I ask right now, God just blessed me with a bead. How many of y'all need some more money? Every almost hand up, and he'll be, woo, glory. Now you won't sit there and act like I'm not talking about you. Now, that may not be everybody's main concern, but there's a lot of folk up here. But surely Jesus didn't have no money problems. Well, the word just got through telling you that he became poor. Well, now you tell me how many poor folk are filthy rich with money. Most of them are limited to this arena in their poorness, and they're operating deficient.